Is it pronounced Giraldi or Giraldi? It's Giraldi, I think, right?
I would go with the latter.
Giraldi? Really?
Sure, why not?
Whatever.
How about Giraldi?
Giraldi. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. My name is Rich Larson. My cohort's name here is Corey Butler. You are listening to Christmas on the Canon for the next, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours, see how this goes.
To be determined.
Exactly.
Hey, Rich, isn't that a beautiful snowfall outside?
Just ever so lightly, it's lovely.
I'm wishing optimism here. We're recording this a few days ahead of time in the morning, so it's not actually evening.
It's actually pretty brown outside.
I'm hopeful that when you are listening to this, it will look majestic out your window.
Because Corey, if you're regular listeners to the show, the three of you that are out there, you know that Corey is dreaming of a white Christmas.
Shouldn't we all? This is Minnesota. Everybody should have snow for Christmas. But yeah, it's not looking good this year. I haven't looked at too many far out forecasts yet. And again, we're recording this ahead of time, so when this actually airs, we'll be a lot closer to Christmas.
It snowed last night. Now, it didn't stick, but it did snow last night, and it's supposed to snow again tonight. So
rain than snow.
Oh,
actually get snow on your end?
Well, here's what I know. Last night, this was 2 weeks ago that we recorded this thing, because last night was the Laura Baker Gala. Mm-hmm. And when we came out of the gala last night, there was a covering of snow on the Carleton College campus. So, you know.
Interesting.
And all the cars had to brush off their windshields.
Well, that was gone by the time I looked at my car.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the other side of three. You know.
This was, I don't know, 9:30 or so last night.
I was probably sleeping.
Yeah. Anyway.
good chat.
Yeah. So that was Christmas time is here. Mm-hmm. From the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack album, which is in my mind one of the four or five best Christmas albums ever. Ever.
I think that's fair.
I mean, you've got your very special Christmas. You got your George Winston.
One or two. Volume one or volume two.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Volume one. There
it's important
is no,
to tell people.
Yeah. Volume one. You got your George Winston. December, you got your Vince. I'm going with Giraldi. And off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what the other ones are. But
well, I know you're a huge Michael Bublé fan,
who we'll get to later in the show.
Which I looked up the senator's name. So as a follow up to I think last week's show, I couldn't remember Senator Mike something's name.
Yeah,
stick around for that name.
Oh, because we're gonna out him, huh?
We'll give you the big tease to listen for another 47 minutes to learn a former Owatonna senator's last name.
Excellent.
And that's what you get on our Christmas show. Can I share a quick story?
Yes, please.
Because I think you'll appreciate this. So, Rich, have you ever dressed your Christmas tree at 3:30 in the morning?
Addressed my Christmas tree?
Well, no.
Decorated my tree at 3:30 in the morning? No.
Actually, I should have set this up differently. So, Mr. Garrison Keillor's former show, which became Chris Thiele's, is that how you say it? Or Thiele? Thiele, right?
Yes.
Live from Here show.
Yeah.
You ever listen to that after it kind of became under his wing?
I would hear it sometimes by accident.
Yeah, and they had I can't remember the guy's name now, but they had the comedy bit where it's like, have you ever? I have. Did you ever get that bit?
No.
No. All right. Sorry. I'm sure there's a good crossover between our audience and that audience, though, but I can't remember the guy's name now, which makes me sad. But anyway, long story short, woke up the other morning to find my Christmas tree had fallen over.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So this was like
3:30. Do you have a cat?
Yeah, but we lock her up downstairs.
Oh, so she didn't knock it. Jump out and pull it over.
In my many years of putting trees up, I guess I just did a poor job this year. But the tree we had picked, my son had picked out, and it looked like a fine tree, but the trunk was kind of twisted.
Yeah.
So I think I just didn't balance it very well. And then I found out I'd cut up the limbs on the bottom, but we have a pretty deep tree. Mm-hmm. Stand. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had it down as far as it should have been.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
It took like a week, almost a full week till it fell over. So it wasn't like immediate.
All right, right.
But the best part is my daughter had come up from her bedroom downstairs at like 1:30 and woke up my wife and said she heard like thunder or something.
Oh.
And that I didn't wake up for that. And then I woke up at 3:30 and had to go, you know, use the restroom quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the Christmas lights are still on, which they should have been off by that point, but they weren't.
Right.
And I walk in the living room and I see the tree pointing at me. I was like, oh.
Whoops.
Well, I'm glad the lights are still on, because otherwise I wouldn't have seen it. So.
Right.
went and woke my wife up because it was a two-person job to stand that tree back up. And
yeah.
We spent about half an hour sending it back up and got some of the ornaments back on, but it just took a while. I had to go out to the garage, get the saw again. Oh, my God.
So you're just up at that point.
Friday was a long day for me.
Sounds like it. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. So. That's a drag. You know, we actually don't even have our tree up yet. And we, long ago, we gave up the ghost on the real tree. I'm allergic. There's so much about real Christmas trees that I'm allergic. I'm allergic to, first of all.
I think I'm allergic to this friendship now. How dare you? It's the only way to be.
I'm pretty well allergic to pretty much everything that's outside, mm-hmm. right? But my skin, I've got the worst skin in history. I touch anything, almost anything organic, and I break out. But I'm allergic to pine needles. I'm allergic to pine sap. I'm allergic to a ton of stuff on a Christmas tree. So we have we have like six fake trees. They all go up.
Oh, but, well, okay. Yeah. I'll give you A for effort then. You're making it up tenfold by not having the authentic tree.
Yeah, it's.
Star Tribune had a column the other day about how to take care of a quote real tree. And I don't often read the comments on online articles for very obvious reasons.
Right.
But this was like a soft enough piece, and I saw there were comments, so I was kind of curious. So I figured it'd just be people like, oh, real trees are better, and blah, blah, blah. Someone's like, why is real in quotes? And I thought that was interesting. And I guess the point is it's not meant to be dismissive to those who choose not to go by I think the preferred term is live tree.
Okay.
Or living tree.
Well,
versus real tree.
It's made of plastic and metal and stuff, but it is like tangible. It's a physical thing. It's real, but
But as a couple,
you know what? It's not a real tree.
I would agree, but as a couple word guys, it's always interesting to see how people interpret those differently. So just the idea of having the word real in quotes set somebody off. Like, why would you not call it a real tree? Well, because you're implying that someone who doesn't have the living tree that they got out of the ground, that their Christmas is somehow lesser. Which I would disagree with.
I completely disagree with that, and I'll take issue with that. I have a great friend whose writing I have to see quite well. We all see each other's writing quite a bit these days because email and texting and Facebook posts and stuff. This friend insists on putting pretty much anything in quotation marks, like any sort of like pop culture phrase or like, you know, what's the word? Slang.
Slang. Yeah.
If it's slang, it goes into quotes. It drives me crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. That and capitalized letters for the beginning of every first word. Or every
you know
word.
What? I have been guilty of that in the past.
Really?
And
in typing or writing?
Just in typing. Not in my actual writing, but in texting and in emails occasionally, I have been guilty of that. And part of it is the fact that this is lame, I know, but it's an excuse. I studied a lot of German in high school and college, and mm-hmm. in German, every noun is capitalized.
Yeah.
But
nine.
Yeah,
Herman Cain phrase. nine.
Never mind. But you're
who is still dead, by the way, despite his Twitter account still going.
I love that his Twitter account still going.
They're convincing someone, I guess. Anyway, sorry.
But I cannot say that I'm a grammar Nazi because I'm a writer who to this day has no idea where a comma is supposed to go. Like, I've had the book Eats, Shoots, and Leaves on my, like, nightstand for 2 years, and I have to read this thing because I have to figure out. I so badly these days rely on Word and autocorrect to put my commas in the right place, and it's something I'm kind of ashamed of. But
so let me ask you,
yeah,
would you or would you not use a comma in the sentence, "Let's eat grandma"?
Well, it depends on if you are a cannibal or not.
Okay, where would you put it?
I would put it after eat.
Okay.
Let's eat, grandma.
Grandma. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Let's eat grandma.
And that's the important part of commas, children.
Yes, exactly. Grammar. This is why grammar is important. Punctuation matters.
Yes.
Anyway, that was Christmas Time is Here.
Welcome lovely. Lovely song. Lovely film. We watched it the other night. So kids, I'm so pleased. Not that I grew up like being a huge Charlie Brown fan, but I'm so pleased that my children really enjoy Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Although they have taken the same taste as me in saying that the Thanksgiving special is not all that great.
Yeah.
We like the Mayflower Voyages, though, which is a Charlie Brown piece.
Yeah. Before we get, I have something else I have to bring up real quick. We're talking about trees, and Charlie Brown actually is a nice. Are you aware that in Trafalgar Square in London is where they basically, you know, like we have a Rockefeller Center and the Great Big Tree. Their Great Big Tree in England is in Trafalgar Square in London, right? Are you aware of the situation?
No, did Dan Moyer tell you this though?
No. Actually, this is I have yet to talk to Moyer about this one. My great partner Dan Moyer from the Weekly List. Norway, the country of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Every
Familiar.
Year, yeah. Most of us are around here. Every year, gifts. A gigantic Norwegian pine to the people of England for having saved their bacon in World War II and done this every year since like 1947.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, it's magnificent. It's this gorgeous tree that's in Trafalgar Square, which is a really important part of London. And you know, I've been to Trafalgar Square. It's lovely.
Were you allergic to the tree?
I am super allergic to the tree. However, the tree this year, I don't know if you could like look it up on your device that's in your hand.
Yeah.
The tree this year ain't so great.
Oh no.
it is the Charlie Brown tree of magnificent Norwegian pines. It's one half is beautiful and the other half is just scraggly as heck. It's just awful.
How many Q's are in Trafalgar?
None.
Oh,
T-R-A-F-A-L.
I'm just joking. I just Googled Trafalgar Square tree, and the first story comes up from Euronews from 2 days ago. Quote, are we at war with Norway? Brits mock, quote, sad gift to Trafalgar Square Christmas
If you
tree.
Go to Twitter and you use the hashtag Trafalgar Square tree, some of the comments are just beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
The best one was, I saw, did they drag it here? Anyway.
Oh, here's another one. Yeah, that looks a little bare.
Ugh.
And unfortunately, they don't have like a corner of the square they can turn it toward the
height. No, exactly. Like you can't.
You kind of need to find the gem to be on display.
Right, exactly.
I was going to say, I was thinking about the pine needle thing you said, the allergy thing.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you've never had the luxury of enjoying a pine IPA, like one that's made with pine needles.
No, I don't even drink gin because it tastes like pine needles. Yeah.
Oh, you're missing out.
That's all right.
I mean, gin, not so much. There are some really good IPAs made with pine.
I couldn't do needles. It. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it.
That's rough.
Yeah.
We'll never have one at Imminent then? Because they're afraid that you're going to.
You know, my influence at Imminent Brewing is grossly overstated.
Same level as mine, probably.
Which is very low. I would like to think I got a little more than you. But
I was trying to make you feel like the people.
Yeah.
There's that ego you're known for there.
Yeah. I'm a man of the people, just like you, Mr. Schoolboy.
All right, let's get to the haiku and move on.
All right.
How about that?
All right.
This is kind of appropriate. We're talking about different approaches to trees and the like.
Time now for Corey Butler's Haiku Corner.
And I wrote all these this morning, per usual. So if they suck, you can blame Rich.
Yeah.
Old Saint Nicholas... An iteration for all. How do you see Claus?
Well, that's a talker right there. I mean, we could go on for a while about that. You're bringing this up now?
Nah.
We're like 20 minutes into the show. We've only played one song.
Well, we can save it for the next one. I love the idea, though. I was talking to my mother-in-law last night because we went to the Dakota City Village.
Yeah. How was that?
It was good. We always enjoy it. We don't go every year. Obviously, we didn't go last year.
Yeah.
For those not familiar, it's at the Dakota County Fairgrounds, $5 per person. We have all these old turn of the century, which I guess now we have to say turn of the 20th century, early 1900s, late 1800 buildings. It's a historical display, but they have them all dressed up in lights, and several of the buildings are open, showing like ways to cook, and it's great.
Unfortunately, folks, as you're hearing this show, it ended last weekend.
But yeah, so next year.
next year, when you're looking for something to do.
It's the first two weekends in December,
yes.
So great time.
Yes.
But we're talking about, you know, the Santa they usually have is kind of like an older, pre-Coca-Cola Santa.
Right.
And I've got several, and this might shock you, I have several books that talk about Christmas history and influences from other religions and festivities that we've talked about.
Why am I not surprised? I think I'm going to die of not surprise. Yeah.
But I love like just the different illustrations and ideas and development of Santa. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, clearly we view it through a very American lens. I don't know if that should surprise you all that
is
much.
This like, is this like Jesus, the way we see Jesus in this country as opposed to
white skin, blue eyes?
Yeah.
Opposed to historically how he should
yeah,
be.
Sorry, folks. White skin, blue eyes was not born in the town of Nazareth. But
okay. I mean, the most accurate thing about that is probably he was wearing sandals.
Yeah, that's true.
And that might even be a stretch. Anyway, sorry. Back to the secular show here. I'm fascinated by it. I mean, and I love all kind of lore. So like, you know, Paul Bunyan and yep. Robin Hood, just all these different iterations and depictions and yep. skills and hobbies and abilities. And so anyway, I have to
say something else. Do not email me. I realize that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. I understand this, but or Bethlehem. Email me all you want. RichKYM@radio.net.
Anyway, check it out, your personal email too.
No.
But that's a good point too. Like, you know, the development from St. Nicholas, from Turkey, which nobody knows. St. Nicholas is from Turkey.
Is that right?
Yes. Turkey, the country, yes.
I love the Turkish people. I have a great story about the one Turkish man I met in England one day. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I would love to hear that. Yeah. Probably not in the segment, though. No. But anyway, all these different iterations across the world for those who celebrate Christmas, because, shocker, not every country and its people welcome Santa on December 25th.
Right, that's true.
Despite what all the 1930s American cartoons want to tell you about him stopping over in China and stuff. So, anyhow, well, although he made these days, I don't know. I don't know what
they have Christians in China.
They do now, yeah.
Yeah.
It was harder back then.
It's not easy right
it's
now.
It's not easy now either. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's what I got for that one.
Okay. Cool. How do you feel about Mumford and Sons?
I love Mumford and Sons.
Well, okay. Tell me a little bit about Winter Winds.
Not strictly a Christmas song.
No.
But very wintry, and I think we can make it fit. We fit non-Christmas pro winter.
I sure hope
before.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is my cheat song for the year. I'll call
all
it
right.
that.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Mumford and Sons. Obviously, they were very big and maybe overexposed through their first two albums.
Yeah.
I think they lost some favor when they went electric with their third album.
Yeah.
And I think that carried over a bit to their fourth album, even though critically it was well reviewed and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a fan. I like Marcus Mumford's voice. I like the sound.
Yeah. I think Marcus Mumford is a gifted songwriter.
Yeah, phenomenally gifted. And I like his voice, too. He's not for everybody. Their sound's not for everyone.
There's a great, here's another tangent. There's a great documentary a few years ago, Elvis Costello and Yim Yames the band escapes me. They're from Kentucky, a great band. And Marcus Mumford and the guy from Dawes all got together. They were given a set of lyrics that Bob Dylan had written around the time of when he recorded the Basement Tapes with the band, right? And they recorded this double album called The New Basement Tapes, where all these songwriters got together with these lyrics and wrote new songs, set all these songs to words. There's a documentary goes along with this. And Marcus Mumford, who is expected to contribute X amount of songs, is just stuck. He's got nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's, for someone who has tried to write, right? I've tried to write songs. I've tried to just write, period. You know about this. You're a writer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you sit down at a computer and you got nothing. Mm-hmm. And you got to come up with something, but you got nothing. And it was great to see. It was very helpful to see a guy as talented and as skilled as Marcus Mumford just stuck.
Oof. Yeah. That was close.
Oh my gosh, the KYMN studios are falling apart. That's where that screwdriver went. Okay. Anyway, folks,
well,
Merry Christmas.
I was going to make one correction on you.
Okay.
Because everything you just said was accurate.
Except?
The band.
This is Winter Winds from their very first album. What the heck was the name of their first album?
Sigh No More.
With,
just like you right now.
With Winter Winds. A 95.1.
As the winter winds litter London with lonely hearts, Oh, the warmth in your eyes swept me into your arms. Was it love or fear of the cold that led us through the night? For every kiss, your beauty trumped my doubt. And my hand told my God that I once loved was the same that sent me into your arms. Oh, and pestilence is won when you are lost and I am gone, and no hope, no hope will overcome. But if your strife strikes at your sleep, remember spring swallows snow.
Don't have ears, baby. I want you to know.
So that was Sia from her Christmas album from like 2011, I want to say, or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Oh, I thought it was more recent.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. But that was Snowman.
Yes.
And that's not a song that I was familiar with. I'm not super familiar with Sia. I know that she's got two different colors hair and
at times, yeah.
And she can really, really, really sing. And you can't see the hair on that song, but I can absolutely hear her voice. And she can sing. What you
it's okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm aware of Sia. I knew like the Chandelier song. I know she's got an incredible voice.
Mm-hmm.
I've not sat down and listened to much of her music. I know her more for the meme of her hair and things like that. So, but I know she's incredibly talented, and in researching for this year's show, came across this album and listened through most of the album, skipped through around a little bit, and this is the song that caught me the most. It sounds the most Sia, I think, of the songs I remember listening to.
All right.
But also, I felt like it probably fit this show best. I mean, you'd have to go listen to the album to understand what I mean by that.
I probably will, too. Because I'm waiting for Adele to put out her Christmas album, and she hasn't done it yet, so Sia's like right, you know,
could be there. Well, next, you did have a comment down, on so. That, right?
Yeah. Well, I was just saying to Corey that if I want to listen to somebody sing like this, I'll probably just go listen to Adele, which is completely unfair to Sia, but that's just, you know, anyway. Yes. I have great respect for Sia, though.
No, she's phenomenal. And I don't know, do you know about her career, how it kind of came to be?
Like, no.
I'm paraphrasing and hopefully correctly here, but I think, long story short, she had been more of a songwriter, and she had some songs that she wanted to get out and weren't getting picked up, so she basically decided to sing them herself.
You know,
and
that's
she
how
she became a huge
star. That's how a lot of people have actually got that's how Carole King got going. That's how Neil Diamond got going. We're gonna get to him a little bit later too.
And Sia's older than I think people realize. She's in her 40s.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think she became like a star till like. Must be mid-late 30s.
Right.
So
right.
Good for her.
Yeah. What's funny to me about that, though, is that that woman can sing.
Yeah.
Man. Does she, though, she have...
stage
fright issues.
I believe that's probably part of it, yeah. One thing I forgot to share, I think we're done with Snowman, right, Lysia?
Yeah.
I want to share on the Winter Winds conversation. We got so distracted by the old
place. I have to back up. Jim James is in a band called My Morning Jacket.
There you go.
There it is. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. My
Morning Jacket. Yes, yeah. Yes.
You were talking about the lyrics that Marcus Mumford writes. I just feel like they're just full of life usually. I mean, a lot of people know him for their sound, but if you actually listen to the lyrics, like they're just, he's a storyteller.
Yeah.
And I just thought this one stanza stuck out to me. Is that what we call in music, right?
Sure.
Stanza?
Yeah, you can use that.
Okay. Again, not as the music guy, just someone who appreciates it from afar.
Yeah.
Looking back at the last 21 months now, this one stuck out to me. The flesh that lived and loved will be eaten by plague, so let the memories be good for those who stay.
That's good.
I think you can interpret that a couple different ways.
Yeah, well,
I'm looking at it as...
the first thing I go to is, let's eat grandma.
No comma.
No comma. Exactly.
All right. Well, speaking of grandma, let's move on to the haiku.
Okay.
Grandmas all love haikus, right?
Okay, yeah. Oh, I hope so.
So I'm told.
All right.
Joy.
You know, I'm a grandfather, so like, you know, we're talking about grandma. I mean, it's, you're talking about my wife.
I'm not going to comment on that because I'm not an idiot. Most of the time. Joy to the world. Oh, Christmas tree, Tannenbaum. We need more carols.
That is the most, that is like the Corey Butlerist haiku that could ever be. We just need more Christmas.
Well, specifically carols. We're talking about on the show. Like, we do a lot of secular stuff. We do have hymns and traditional music on here, but I find myself not listening to enough traditional Christmas music these days.
I don't either, for a number of reasons. I do. Some of those classic Christmas hymns, though, I do. You know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Joy to the World and all that.
Oh, Holy Night.
Yeah. Oh, Holy Night, exactly. But is Oh, Holy Night, is that a hymn?
I think it is.
Is it in the LBW? If it's not in the LBW, in my mind, it's not a hymn. The LBW, for the uninitiated, is the Lutheran Book of Worship. It's the Green Book.
Well, that's only one book. There's other books. I mean, I know we're in Northfield, not just across the river from St. Olaf.
Coexist, everybody. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean,
I'm just trying to be funny because I'm about the furthest away one could possibly be from the Lutheran book of worship.
But as someone who identified, I guess, as a Lutheran as a child, because yeah. I was told I was.
Right, yeah.
I had no idea what you just said. The LDW.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
No, I didn't.
See, I guess that's just my... Because I'm not... I didn't... I grew up Episcopal, and that's a whole different conversation. But I learned about being a Lutheran because I went to a Lutheran college. And, I mean, one of the first things they like, you're talking to all the Lutherans, and they're talking about the LBW. I'm like, what's the LBW? It's the Green Book. Well, what do you mean the Green Book? Haven't you ever been to church? I've never been to Lutheran church. But so then I learned about all this stuff.
LBW, the Green Book, not to be confused with Snoop Dogg and the LBC with his own Green Book.
It is, you know, with all different the stress in the LBC, it's hard being a D-O, double G.
Got both. You got all the letters in there. Good for
you. I did. I'm so good at that.
All right. Well, speaking of religion, we'll move on to the next song.
Yeah. Well, it's what's the name of this band again?
The Christmas Jug Band.
The Christmas Jug Band. I actually heard the song for the first time last year because the boss, Jeff Johnson, not Bruce Springsteen, Jeff Johnson, played this song on the morning show.
Well, then I know we're okay to play it for
yeah,
the
we're,
show.
Oh, yeah. We're totally okay to play it on here. Okay. Yeah. This is a fun song. And it's kind of a stupid concept in the title, and it's a little bit off color and a little bit not so PC, but it's clever. And
it's clever.
Funny.
It's definitely clever. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. What else you got on it?
Just waiting for you to say the title.
From, I don't know, sometime in the 21st century, this is the Christmas Jug Band with Santa Lost a Ho. On 95.1 KYM.
Santa used to like to chuckle. He's always been a belly full of laughs. Sitting in a Santa Claus chair, posing for the photographs. But now he don't laugh so much. In fact, about one third less. Old Saint Nick got a problem. Man, he's in an awful mess, 'cause he used to go ho, ho, ho. Now he's only going ho, ho.
Uh-oh, where'd the other ho go?
I don't know, but Santa's feeling mighty low. He used to do hidey-ho, now he's only doing hidey.
Uh-oh, where'd the other ho go?
I don't know, Santa lost a ho. Now Santa's been doing his best to get to the Christmas mood. Keeping his little elves happy, he's the number one Christmas dude. But there ain't no joy, 'cause just one toy is missing from Santa's shack. He never had a doll go AWOL once he got her in the sack. 'Cause he used to go ho, 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 now he's only going ho, ho.
Uh-oh, where'd the other ho go?
I don't know, but Santa's feeling mighty low. He used to do hidey-ho, now he's only doing hiding.
Uh-oh, where'd the other ho go?
I don't know, Santa lost a ho. Santa that's only got two hoes, no one would believe. Oh, Santa, if you need some cheering, stop by on your way. Jug band going to party all the way to Christmas Day. Just open up your bag of joy, soon you're gonna feel alright. You're gonna leave here laughing, even if you're one whole life. 'Cause you used to go ho, 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 now he's only going ho, ho.
Uh-oh, where'd the other ho go?
I don't know, but Santa's feeling mighty low. He used to do hidey-ho, now he's only doing hidey.
Uh-oh, where'd the other ho go?
Don't know, Santa lost a ho. But I do know, the good things in life, they come and go.
Ring, are you listening? In the lane, beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kids have knocked him down. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chilling, we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way, walking in a winter wonderland.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Whoa, whoa.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
Walking,
walking winter wonderland.
If my wife had been listening to this show, which is frankly a little bit doubtful, she turned it off as soon as that song started. Aww. Because that was Huey Lewis in the News, and she cannot abide Huey Lewis in the News. I, however, love Huey Lewis in the News. Somehow, though, my wife and I, we make it work, and we've made it work for 30 years.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, because for some, it's to go with the theme that was happening before this conversation. For some, it's religion.
Yeah.
For others, politics.
Yeah.
For you, it's apparently taste in good music.
Oh,
and I'm glad you fall on the right side, because yeah. I love me some Huey Lewis.
Power of love, baby. It's great.
It's just so, I mean, when I was in high school, CDs were all the rave. I don't know if you're familiar with that format.
CDs? Back in my day, we had these little canisters that would just turn.
Yeah. Well, the 8-track player just came out of here, so.
That's true. Literally.
Yeah.
Like last night. Yeah.
Yeah. I had my 88 Nova. That was my high school car.
Nice.
This was a four banger.
Yeah.
Not like a nice, sexy.
Oh, no,
60s
dude, I drove a 1986 Plymouth Reliant. Yeah. It was a four banger.
A Nova is basically a Corolla of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Same carb, essentially. Anyway, had my CD player in there. I had my big book of CDs. I had three sets of three CDs that are bought in packages from Costco, I think. I had Journey, three CDs, like it was like the best of type thing.
Attaboy.
I had CCR.
All right, very nice.
And I had Huey Lewis in the News.
Very good.
And I listened to these things on rotation for like 2 years.
Wow.
Love Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Actually got to see him perform at Mystic about 15 years ago, probably. Love when they go a cappella. That's a big part of that.
Yeah.
So I love
that's
this
big deal.
Of the
that's
song.
Big deal. Yeah, I saw them in the late 80s, I think I was still I was a senior in high school, so that would have been 86, 87. No, it was pretty, like spring of 87. And this was when they were at their peak
height,
of popularity. Yeah. And their horn section was Tower of Power.
Mm.
It was great. It was fantastic.
I remember really enjoying the concert, obviously, because it's great music.
Yeah.
I remember Huey getting pretty hoarse by the end.
Yep.
Because he just gives it his all.
Yep.
I remember the a cappella bit of It's All Right.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. But the thing that stuck with me is when he, you know, after the first few songs, typically the lead will say, hey, you know, here's the band, or, you know, do some kind of introduction, thanks for having us kind of thing. And I remember him remarking, this has stuck with me, about you may wonder why we have so many people on stage. It's because we're real musicians who play musical instruments.
Yeah.
This is what a band looks like.
Yeah.
Because he had like 13 people or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it struck me. He's like, oh, he's, you know, this is mid-2000s,
right.
Everything's electric.
Right.
Just, if you want drums, you push a button type thing.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
He's absolutely right.
He's totally right, yeah. And that's, I could go on. This has been a concern of mine with music for more than 30 years, actually.
I'm sure, yeah.
So I don't want to.
Well, you're a big EDM fan though, right?
I so bad don't want to go down this road.
Christmas.
Huey Lewis, another tangent. You listen to news 2 years ago. We're poised to really. They were making a comeback. There was going to be an album and a tour. And Huey Lewis has developed some kind of inner ear thing where he literally can't hear music anymore.
Yep,
it's just horrible. It's heartbreaking.
CBS Sunday Morning did a piece on him this spring, I think.
Oh, is that right?
And that was when I first heard about it.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate because they're trying to do a new album.
Yeah,
get out on tour. Obviously, touring right away for other reasons.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I think they're still able to do some music, but it's pretty difficult.
He
for him.
Can't sing.
Yeah,
he can't because he can't hear it.
Right.
It's horrible. Anyway,
it's tough. I did want to call back to. Did I want to call back? I had a story. Oh, I had a story about the Santa Claus or Santa lost a hoe. So, real quick. This is adult humor a little bit, but it's not too adultish.
Well, as people are listening to this, it's coming up on 8 o'clock. So
no,
it's okay.
I mean it's not bad. So when you do gingerbread houses, you can do the big ones. Now the last few years, maybe longer, you can buy like a bunch of mini ones.
Yeah,
like a package of four small ones, which is what we do for our family.
Sure.
Four.
Everyone gets their own
kind of thing.
Because this is America.
Well, yeah. You don't want kids fighting over the same space. But yeah, collaboration's good too.
So, yeah.
I was making mine, and I went to do some writing, and the roof was, 3 inches wide. I don't have space to really write much, so I just wrote ho. Which my wife, I think, appreciated. And I just told the kids I didn't have room for the other two hoes. And then we moved on. I also thought if Santa wanted to be more efficient, instead of having to belt out three syllables of ho, ho, ho,
yeah,
just say hose.
Ho.
Hose. I mean,
can we just keep going here?
He's just trying to get to the houses quicker. Right. You know, if you just say ho. Anyway. Right.
This next song is a Goo Goo Dolls song. And I think.
Well, do we want to do haiku first?
I do, actually.
I'm sorry.
Time now for Corey Butler's Christmas haiku.
We got to really work on these flows.
Yeah,
we need to work on our pre-production meetings.
Flow.
Yeah. All right. I just realized what we were talking about, and then I got to this one that I wrote. Okay. What time are we on at? No, this isn't bad. Snowfall from the sky, swiftly finding your shoulder. Oh, that is not snow.
Oh, God. You know, somehow that's still just super wholesome. That's just kind of cute.
Snowfall from the sky.
Yeah.
Swiftly finding your shoulder. Oh, that is not snow. There you go.
Next song is a Goo Goo Dolls song that, as I recall.
Confession time?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I love Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, I know.
Again,
you do. Yeah.
I was of the right age when they were really picking up steam in the mid to late 90s. Loved them.
Huh?
Once you
I hold that the song.
I say 80s. I meant
90s. No. Okay. You said 90s. Okay. The song Name is one of the four or five best songs of the 90s. I just love that song.
Oh, the song. Yeah, I thought you were saying this song.
No,
name.
The song. No. The
I was
song.
Like, oh, you really like the title.
The song is called Name.
Yeah, Name. Yeah. Oh, the huge Black Balloon. They had so many big hits, and rightfully so. Another voice I love, Johnny Resnick's voice.
He sounds. The thing about the Goo Goo Dolls. Like, you know how everyone talks about Coldplay, how they're sort of watered down Radiohead?
Yeah.
Okay. To me, the Goo Goo Dolls, who I really do like, right? But they're watered down replacements.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I should listen to more replacements.
Johnny Resnick sounds very much like Paul Westerberg. And as a matter of fact, when Name was like the biggest song in the country, Johnny, I don't know if this is legend or not, but Johnny Resnick was calling Paul Westerberg on a regular basis apologizing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sorry that we ripped you off. Yeah. Anyway.
Did you know they were originally a punk band?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And released like two albums. And we were like
full
on punk.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that album, was it a Boy Named Goo?
Boy Named Goo.
Which has, I think Name is on that, right?
Yep.
And then a couple other songs that went big.
Right.
It's like a hybrid album where half the song has their old lead singer, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It has a couple songs from the other guy, I think, and then Johnny takes over. I might be wrong on that. But the vocals are way different, at least.
Well, the bass player sings from time to time, too.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So, but like, it's a whole different sound from like Name and Black Balloon.
Yeah, it is.
And it's pretty wild. So anyway, this song didn't come out until 2006, so I had moved on, but I had heard on the radio, catching on whatever, Cities 97 or KS95, whatever it would have been, and think, oh, that's a nice song. But it was also one of those songs, as you do when you're in the radio, that you just kind of tap your finger to, but maybe don't hear the lyrics.
Right.
Like I was talking about with Winter Winds. Like, it's fascinating when you actually listen to lyrics instead of just getting caught up into the bop. Yep. And I never got past the bop stage of the song.
Sure.
Anyway, long story. But you and I were talking about the songs, this song. And yeah. You said, well, I'm going to put on the show or something. Or I think.
Better. I'm going to put Better Days on the show.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Oh, really? I'm like, well, yeah, it's a Christmas song. I'm like, it is?
Yeah.
I had no clue because I don't think I ever listened to
go,
the lyrics.
Go look at the lyrics, right.
The opening lyrics.
Yeah.
And then I went back and listened like intently. I'm like, oh, I guess so.
But I think that most people missed that with this song.
Yeah.
When it was a single, it came out in the middle of the summer.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard, like, I've never heard I've never seen an interview. I don't read many interviews with the Goo Goo Dolls, but like, they've never talked about it as, I've never heard them talk about it as a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
But read the lyrics. I mean, look at the lyrics. It's a Christmas song. Yeah. It's a song about Christmas. Well, it's a song.
It sure is.
It's a song set at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about better days coming ahead.
Yeah. Well, and it's the you know, the idea of, you know, there's a new year coming and you know, there's some religious undertones in there too, but you know, forgiveness and all that. So from oh wow, now it's really snowing. Or starting to.
It actually is snowing.
Actually, that doesn't look so much like snow as ice pellets. It's wintry mixing. Isn't that lovely?
Grapple, maybe.
Remind me, 2006. What's the name of this album? From this is the Goo Goo Dolls.
After their bigger ones,
with Better Days. I'm 95.1 KYMM.
Try to make this kind and clear, just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in strings and designer love and empty things, just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. So take these words and sing out loud, 'cause everyone is forgiven now, 'cause tonight's the night the world begins again. Someplace simple where we could live, and something only you can give, and that's faith and trust and peace while we're alive. And the one poor child who saved this world, and there's 10 million more who probably could if we all just stopped and said a prayer for them. So take these words and sing out loud, 'cause everyone is forgiven now, 'cause tonight's the night the world begins again. We'll be right back.
Who's Larry David?
Are you asking me this on the air?
You're right. We're recording. Who's Larry David?
Yeah. A very funny man who's very, very rich.
Oh, he is indeed. Yeah. Anyway, that was Amanda Shires. And she just put out a brand new Christmas album in November called For Christmas. And we've actually already played one song from that album earlier, a couple of weeks ago. We played, did we play
Home to Me?
Home to Me, yep. Right.
Beautiful song.
We had an opportunity this week to talk to Amanda Shires. And you folks are going to be able to listen to that conversation. Corey wasn't able to make it for the interview. He left me to my own devices to make this happen. I hope I did him proud. I'm not quite the journalist. I know I don't have the interview skills that you have, but I really need to work on my interview skills, actually.
That's very kind of you, but you are 100% the right person to have chat with her.
That's not what I'm looking for here. So
no, I know you're not, yeah. But you've got... I was telling my wife, because you sent me the interview ahead of time, I said, and I listened to how you addressed her as a musician, as a talent. You have the encyclopedic knowledge. You had the personal stories that connect with her about the last 20 months.
And
you'll hear about all this in the interview, obviously, so I'm going to give it all away. But you were 100% the correct person to chat with her. So I'm so happy for you to have had that moment.
It was great.
I've been giving you a little grief because I said, well, part of the reason I want you to connect is because you both have this love for John Prine.
Deep love for John
Amanda
Prine.
Amanda was, you know, an understudy of his and close friend and worked with him. And you obviously just marvel at his ability and look up to him.
One of the finest songwriters in the history of music, so John Prine, at least in the 20th century.
Not to put a cloud over your head, but it's going to go down as one of my saddest moments that you two didn't connect on that.
We only had so much time. Yeah. And this Christmas album that first of all, for those of you who don't know who Amanda Shires is, she's best known. Let's set it up like this. Amanda Shires is an amazing, amazing musician who can play a lot of stuff. She's a virtuoso country fiddler. She's a great songwriter. She's made, I think, 7 albums to this point. She grew up in between Mineral Springs, Texas, and Lubbock, Texas, bouncing back and forth between mom and dad, and was, in like 10 years ago, was considered to be the best like Texas musician. Like if Texas is a nation, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they claimed Amanda Shires.
Kind of is. Yeah,
kind of. She also happens to be married to Jason Isbell, who I have said many times as I think the best working songwriter under the age of 50 in the country, if not the world. She is a member of his band, the 400 Unit. And she is also a founding member of this super group, the High Women, mm-hmm. along with Maren Morris and Brandi Carlile and... Who's the fourth one?
Oh, Natalie Emby.
Natalie, yeah, okay. And so she's got a resume that's 10 miles long. And she's great. Corey thought it'd be great if we could talk to Amanda. So he set this whole thing up, and then he said, oh, hey, by the way, you got to do this because
you're the guy, you should do it. Because everything you just rattled off proved why you were the guy to do it. You have the knowledge. You have the ability.
You knew
and
all
boy,
that
am
stuff.
I proud of you.
Well, boy, thanks, Corey. That's very nice of you. So a couple of things we need to kind of set up about this. One is basically who she is. She just put this album out. The album is full of songs that are kind of, I've been telling people, it's sort of a Christmas is sort of BS, kind of. Let's get real about Christmas. There's a lot that it's not all pretty paper, or she puts it, it's not always a Hallmark movie, right? There's a lot that goes.
You're throwing Roy Orbison under the bus there. It's not all pretty paper.
You know what's funny about that is I think a pretty paper is a Willie Nelson song.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, but it is.
Lumineers also do.
I know. The Lumineers do a really good Blue Christmas, but we'll get to that later.
Ah, yes.
And there's
authenticity to it. It's
let's get real. Yeah. You know, and she has set up a hotline. that you can call, which I've called. I haven't left the message yet, but you can call. It's 1-873 and then FOR4 and then XMAS. So 1-873-4 Christmas. And I if I'm not getting the the numbers right. It's in the interview. Where I actually read the thing.
There's also the internet. You can look it up.
Yeah.
Mandashires.com, I'm assuming.
Santa Amanda. If you actually Google Santa Amanda.
Oh, there you go.
You'll get the hotline. And what it is she's like, hey, tell me your stories. Tell me a story about like the stories about what happened on Christmas that was not the greatest thing that ever happened. And oh, by the way, I love you. I mean, it's sweet. And she's an amazing woman. And thank you for the opportunity to talk to her because it was great. So, you got anything?
No, I'm just glad it came together, and I feel privileged that we were able to receive some of her time because she is a big deal. And
yeah,
you know, it was an interesting process. I'm glad it worked out, and hopefully next year we can match it or get hired.
Do something,
because
you know,
this has become an annual tradition to have some kind of interview.
Right, we had the Rankin Bass guy a couple of years ago,
Rick Goldschmidt.
Yeah, and we had Paul Metza last year, who happened because it was Paul Metz's idea.
Yeah.
And now we've got Amanda Shire. So
well,
next year we're going to get Santa Claus.
Well, no, I was going to say, I'm going to start emailing now and see if I can connect with Bruce Springsteen's people.
Okay.
I'll start working on that. Right.
Think he can bring his friend President Obama with him to that interview as well?
Well, would we be flying them in for this one? I'm sure we could take a collection of the good people of Northfield to
Northfield
fly
would be
in those
fine
two individuals.
With that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we can make that work. I'll start going to work on it.
We'll lose some listeners somewhere, I'm sure. But anyway, without further ado, this is my conversation with Amanda Shires. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us. We really do appreciate it.
I'm really happy that you want to talk about it.
you know, I got to tell you before we get into the interview, I've actually had tickets to see you and your husband twice in the last year and a half. I had tickets. You guys were scheduled originally to play in Minneapolis on my birthday last year, and that had to get canceled because of COVID. And then my wife and I had tickets on our wedding anniversary to see you and the High Women and Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs and Jason in the 400 unit and Chris Stapleton at Wrigley Field, and it was going to be a whole weekend for our anniversary. And that had to get canceled too. So I feel like the world is, or at least the virus is conspiring against me that I'm never going to be able to actually see you perform, Amanda.
I thought that for a while too, and then I thought, with every time it happens, that means we're going to get it back sevenfold. So, like in the positive way, I started making up my own version.
I just love that. I'm gonna take that to heart. Okay.
You're going to be going to, you'll see us so much you won't even know what to do with
it. You know what? I will take that every doggone time, every time. Okay. So let's kind of get into this a little bit here.
Okay.
You have made, in my estimation, one of the most remarkable Christmas albums that I have heard in a while. This is a fun album. It's not even close to what one would consider to be a typical Christmas album. I mean, you've got you decided to kind of lay it all out there, didn't you, with this album?
First, thank you so much. I was really intentional and careful with the songwriting and the application of instruments, and I didn't want it to be treated as a record, as not part of my collection, you know, not just this is something we put out. I really wanted to do right by my writing heroes and my song friends, and that was my goal, to make something that meant something to me and then that might, you know, resonate with others.
Well, it certainly does that. I mean, I Christmas is a wonderful time of year. There's no denying that it's great, but you know, there's a lot of pressure on people at Christmas, and it's not always a lot of fun. And you know, I personally have been part of more than one just god awful family meltdown at Christmas time on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you how much I appreciate the music on this album and these songs. It's
well, thank you. It's true though. I mean, we get together with our families, and then, you know, we see various family members at different times of the year, and there's always family drama, and then you add onto it the pressures of, you know, Christmas and you know, buying presents and the thing, will they like them, will they not, if that's what you do, and then the hosting of Christmas and the kind of like niceties and politenesses and the things you're expected to do. And then, you know, you walk around with all these feelings about it, and some good, some bad, some, you know, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like everybody's experiences of Christmas are different, right? We all have different experiences, and then they all change year to year. And it's not always a Hallmark movie.
That's a great way to put it. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to misrepresent this album either. I mean, there's still a lot of sentiment in your songs, and it's just, you know, Christmas is great, but let's get real.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's songs about love and embracing Christmas magic all year round, and there's songs about pre-decorating and wanting to leave all the Christmas stuff behind and go somewhere else. There's the ghosts of Christmas past, and then there are, you know, the things where you might have a romantic tryst, all the things that could happen at Christmas time that also happen to happen daily.
Blame it on the mistletoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did you record this album?
June.
In June, which is...
June or July. I think it was June. Yeah, it was June because I was listening to mixes back in July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it weird to record a bunch of Christmas songs in June?
You would think it would be, but when I showed up to the studio, Juanita at Sound Emporium had it all decorated and it felt like Christmas inside there. And Peter Levin, my favorite musical partner, dressed up as Santa Claus, and
that's great.
You know, we had, it was all decked out. The writing it in the summer was different because you would think you would need the snow and the cold, and you know, the help of the decorations to be in the room with you. But as it turns out, I've been around a while, and I could remember so many of my Christmases, and then, you know, shared experiences that my mom shared with me, and you know, family members shared, and what I'd seen, that I was able to draw from all the stories and memories and come out with this for Christmas.
Yeah, it's great. And I one more little note on this album. This interview is for a show that I do with my partner, my partner Corey. We do holiday themed shows throughout the year, kind of just pick them, and then but for Christmas we always do a series, and so that's what this interview is for, is. And I have held through the 3 years that we've been doing this that Silent Night is an incredibly difficult song to record and to capture, and in my mind I've never heard a good recording of Silent Night. It's just a tough song. Your take on Silent Night might be the best way in that I've heard yet. I mean, you're really completely, you use the word Silent Night and all that, but you really rewrote the song and you dropped it into a minor key. And I think it's just brilliant.
Well, thank you. I do tend to find in, you know, the songs that, the older songs and songs you might sing in church, or the language is of that time and oftentimes antiquated. And as you go back further and further, you notice that more and more. It's hard, I think, for me when I hear that song, when people cover it, to truly believe that people are singing it knowing what the words mean,
right.
You know, like
right.
Round yon virgin, mother and child and all that. Like, we get the images, but to truly dive into that is difficult. And then I think that makes the cover of it tough.
Mm-hmm.
But, in the time that I rewrote this, I was thinking back on you know, this isn't a COVID record by all means, but I was thinking back on coming out of COVID,
yeah,
and out of our little bubbles or caves, and the feelings that went along with that. Like, how are we supposed to celebrate or get back to any semblance of normalcy around here when it's been such a dark time?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot to process for a lot of folks with the trauma of the world closing down and lockdowns repeatedly and losing so many people. And I felt like the way I could do that was with the actual silence of that time, you know. In my house, it got so quiet sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I was able to give my feelings a place about that time, was with kind of that opposite, you know.
Well, I want to thank you for what you did, because it's I think it's great. It's really moving. 1-833-4-XMAS. Santa Amanda. If I call Santa Amanda at 1-833-4-CHRISTMAS, which I actually did about an hour ago, I get to hear you talking to me a little bit about Christmas, and you want to hear my stories. What can you tell us a little bit about the idea behind this, and what you're going to do with all this?
I'm a miner for stories and observations, and I'm a person that is a social person, and I care about people, and sometimes I think that the stories could make it into a song, but sometimes I'll text folks back there, and I have designs on making a reel of Christmas, you know, message outtakes and things like that. I just think that the Christmas experience is different for everybody, and we all have such so many memories about Christmas, but sometimes folks have these real clear Christmas images that they can't forget. Like, you know, one time Jason's uncle was dressed up as Santa, and like after he arrived, passed out in the middle of the floor. And like, that's his biggest Christmas memory that he can remember, something like that. And just to hear various folks' stories and the sharing of it, what it does for me is it gives me a greater sense of community, and that we all go through these similar feelings of happiness and nostalgia and, you know, family drama,
right,
and just a realization, an even further examination of the fact that we're all going through it, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a great idea, and you know, just sometimes people just want to just talk about some of this stuff and get it out. And what a great vehicle for you to offer them. That's wonderful.
And sometimes you don't want to be the Grinch. You have a lot to say, but you have nobody to say it to. So
yeah,
you know, I'm your Christmas Grinch, or I'm your Christmas Santa Claus. Whatever ear you need to listen, I will open it.
You are the Christmas therapist. All right. Well, where will you be for Christmas this year? What are your plans?
We're gonna be here at home, around the tree. We usually have some dinner at my mom's place and play games like catchphrase or.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that's escaping me now, the one where you, it might be called catchphrase, where you try to guess what the other person's word without saying a bunch of other words.
Yep.
And we play dice for money, and
nice.
You know, just we just have fun and
yep,
try not to get into any you know, arguments.
At my house, we always break out Cards Against Humanity. I don't know if you're
we do that one, too. Cards Against Humanity and Apples to Apples. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Cards Against Humanity, playing that with your daughters, that could be a trip, let me tell you. But it's anyway, well, Ms. Amanda Shires, thank you so much for the time. I really do appreciate it, and I hope the album does well for you. I hope you're able to generate a little something off of this, and maybe once the virus is all over and you're back on your feet, maybe we get to see Amanda Shires Christmas show in Minneapolis one of these days.
I would love that, and it would be all awesome and snowy and so pretty, and I could see my friend Stephanie.
Oh.
And but thank you for the space and the time.
Oh no, it's our pleasure. All right, take care and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks, Amanda.
Silent night. Christmas Day, driving cattle over snow-covered plains. All of the good gifts given today, ours is the sky and the wide open range. Back in the cities, they have different ways: football and eggnog and Christmas parades. I'll take my blanket, I'll take the reins. It's Christmas for cowboys and wide open plains. A campfire for warmth as we stop for the night. The stars overhead, the Christmas tree lights. The wind sings a hymn as we bow down to pray. Christmas for cowboys and wide open plains. It's tall in the saddle, we spend Christmas Day, driving cattle over snow-covered plains. So many gifts have been opened today. Ours is the sky, the wide open range. It's Christmas for cowboys and wide open plains.
That was John Denver from sometime in the mid-70s, I think 70, it's either 75 or 76. That was Christmas for Cowboys, which is, without question, Corey, my favorite song to listen to on Christmas Day, or on Christmas morning. It's when that in that sort of space before all the nuttiness begins and all the, you know, all the wrapping papers getting thrown all over the place, and just when you're sitting and you're drinking your coffee and you're digging on the fact that it's Christmas, and that's a great song to listen to.
It's calming.
That song, as long as we do Christmas on the Canon, I will, and I know that you are fond of that song. I know you like that song, and I appreciate that very much. I will, I'm getting a little, that was my dad's favorite Christmas song, and as long as we do the show, we will always play that song. My dad's the anniversary of my dad passing away was a couple of days ago, and so whenever this recording falls right near there, we will always play this song. So that's for the old man. All right, moving on. You got a haiku?
I do. Cool. And I had a couple comments too, but
go ahead.
Basically reflecting what you said, minus the personal connection. Just thanking you for bringing that song, because it's a great song. Hadn't heard it before this show. It's beautiful, and glad you shared it with me.
Yeah.
And for with everyone. I'm not sure how this haiku is going to land though. So.
I'm sorry about that. That was unexpected.
Hey,
I apologize.
Don't apologize for being human.
Yeah.
That was. It's good to be human.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
Christmas for cowboys. Let me start over.
Okay.
Christmas for cowboys. Not all cowboys wear brimmed hats. For Rich's old man.
Aw, see? Right there. You're hitting me in all the feels, dude. Oh. Thank you. That's nice.
I didn't want to do that after.
Nah, it's good, man. My dad would love that. Not all cowboys wear brimmed hats. Although he did have a cowboy hat.
I had to hit 7 syllables. Yeah, I had to figure it out. We won't repeat that one.
Anyway, so we go from that.
How could we?
Yeah, Neil Diamond. What are your thoughts on Neil Diamond? I don't know if we've ever actually talked about Neil Diamond.
I probably don't have a well-rounded opinion because my exposure to him are the popular songs.
Yeah.
And depending on the mood and place,
yeah,
I'm either really into it or slightly annoyed by it.
Right. Right. I think that I think a lot of people feel that way about Neil Diamond. I'm a huge fan of Neil Diamond, but I can also be slightly annoyed by Neil Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, the first time he put out a Christmas album, he has now put out, well, he's retired now, but like at the end of his career, I think he put out 5 different Christmas albums.
Oh, wow.
I was annoyed that Neil Diamond had put out a Christmas album. I want to preface this by saying this is probably a very unfair opinion, right? Because we live in America and we have freedoms across the board, economically, religiously, speech, the whole thing. We have freedoms across the board. Neil Diamond is famously Jewish, famously Jewish, and a good a man who feels his religion and has that faith and keeps mm-hmm. that faith. Made a Christmas album. And I just, you know,
5 of them, apparently
a bunch of them, you know, and so it wasn't like Santa Claus is coming to town. Like on that first album, he recorded things like Angels We Have Heard on High.
Oh,
right. I mean, okay. He's going deep into the hymns. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know,
so maybe he's a bit disingenuous.
I realize I'm really treading a fine line here. I mean, I realize that, and this can come off as, you know, I'm going to say it. I hope to God this isn't coming off as anti-Semitic, because it's not. No. And I'm a little concerned about that.
I don't think so.
But it does feel a little bit like, I don't want to say stay in your lane, but like, it does feel like you are putting this out because you have millions and millions and millions of Christian fans, right? And you're going to get a couple extra bucks from them, and it's
well.
But the flip side of that is, you know what? This is a gift to all of my millions and millions of Christian fans who love Christmas, and you love me, and I really appreciate you love me. So here on Christmas, I'm going to sing you some of your songs that you really love.
So let me challenge you in this way,
please,
because I think the hymn part makes it a little more harder for me to make this argument.
Yep.
But you're looking at Christmas purely through a religious lens, and Christmas has moved beyond just a Christian holiday.
There is no question about that.
But you made the point that, well, he's not just doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. People are in the music business,
yes,
for a reason, right?
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes it's for good and genuine reasons, and sometimes it's to make a buck, and maybe it's a little bit of both.
Right.
So in this case, I don't know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say he really enjoyed Christmas, even as someone who, you know, it wasn't a Christian, because...
Right.
Guess what? Some of us aren't.
Well, you know what? You know, and you know what? It is kind of point pot calling the kettle black, because I cannot call myself a Christian, mm-hmm. and I celebrate Christmas every year. And I just, heck, I just got super choked up because my dad's not going to be here Christmas.
I think I have a haiku coming up maybe on this show. I can't remember, because, again, I wrote 4,000 this morning, so I can't remember which ones fall where. But earlier we had the one about Santa and the different iterations.
Yeah.
No different with the holiday at large,
indeed.
Right? Everyone
indeed.
Does something a little different. We just talked about Amanda Shire's approach to it and how that's not going to be for everyone, because it's truthful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know when we talked and you talked to her, you're talking about, sometimes we had some family gatherings where it wasn't so jolly.
Yeah. And yeah.
Guess what? Oh. I had those too. And I'm assuming most people who ever would listen to the show, 9 out of 10 times had that too, because as much as we on this show particularly, but not always particularly, I shouldn't say, but you listen to any holiday thing from Thanksgiving to Christmas or New Year's, it's always saccharine. It's always jolly. Yeah, it's always sheen. It's always the most optimistic look at the holiday, which is great and something to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not truth, though.
And it's true. And that's what puts a lot of pressure on people, too, is, you know, my goodness, you are going to have the finest day of the year today, you know,
it's pressure.
And it's going to be perfect.
So I don't have a problem with a Jewish guy making Christmas music.
You know, neither do I.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason that this song is now on this show.
Now, that said, I have a problem with Neil Diamond doing Christmas music. There's a difference there.
Okay.
No, I don't have a problem. I hadn't heard this song before. You listed it for today's show.
Yep.
I will tell you, though, going into it, it sounded exactly what I expected a Neil Diamond Christmas song to sound like.
It's exactly what
you would expect. And I wrote down the lyric, That's how you know it's true, baby. So exactly. Enjoy this one.
All right. From his first Christmas album, which I think came out in 1992. This is You Make It Feel Like Christmas. 95.1, Neil Diamond with You Make It Feel Like Christmas. On 95.1, KYMN.
Christmas time is coming now, baby. Tell me those Santa Claus gonna come to you. Whoa, you know Christmas time is coming now. Tell me those Santa Claus gonna come to you. You know I'm gonna send it myself, darling. I'm gonna bring you a present and do the little things that you may want me to. Mm-hmm. York City. Old Santa Claus had a bill in his hand. Yes, you know I went down in New York City. I saw Santa Claus. He was standing down with a bell ringing in his hand. Why, you know the poor children were running up, hollering, "You're gonna come to me, Sandy." He said, "Little girl, please put something in old Sandy's hand." Whoa, ain't it happy to see these old people learning the young one? Yeah, just learning them exact what to do. So sweet, it's so sweet to see these old people learning the young children just what to do. Mother said a many years ago, Santa Claus come to me. Now this year he gonna come to you. My little sister said, take your stocking down, hang it up on the head of the bed. Talking to a friend, she said, take your stocking and please hang it up on head of the bed. She said, you know, we all God sent children. In the morning, old Santa Claus gonna see that we all is fair.
The immortal Lightnin' Hopkins. With a song I'd never heard before. That's a Christmas gift to me, my gosh. Thank you very much, Mr. Butler.
To steal a line from Neil Diamond, I would say Mr. Hopkins makes it feel like Christmas.
Yes, he does.
That is in the rotation for me personally, not necessarily for the show, but for me moving forward.
I love that. That's just good blues right there. That was a song called Santa.
Yes. By Lightning. And I've had to sit on this for a year because I had found it after we had set the show last year, and it sat there looking at me at the spreadsheet for about 11 months till I got back to it.
I just yesterday, this happens to me all the time when we're doing this show. Yesterday we've got all of our shows set and everything's good to go. And that's yesterday I found a new song that will be on the show next year.
Nice. Well, and I texted you one.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. That time of year, new things come out and sometimes old things come out again,
right?
And you may have missed them decades ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That other one. That's going to be like that one that you sent me. That'll be in the first show.
Okay. That, good.
Because I can't wait to play that one. That's going to be fun.
This one, Santa's from 1965, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
In my due diligence this morning, I think that's where I traced it back to.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Hopkins had been around for a few decades. So.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Lightning was pretty old by then, but.
I think he was in his mid-40s.
Oh, is that right? I think of Lightning. I don't know.
Maybe it's the early 10s. I can't remember.
I know my blues history in that I know that there are all these guys, and I know that they're all – but I don't know exactly where to put them. I had thought Lightning Hopkins was way back in, like, the 40s. But
I'm looking up real quick. Yeah, he was born in 1912.
Okay.
He would have been in his 50s.
Yeah, okay.
Then, so.
All right.
He lived till 82. So
he lived a good life.
70-year run.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks to him for that.
All right.
What do we got coming up?
Oh, well, the Christmas blues theme here. A lot of people don't like Coldplay. I am not one of those people. I like Coldplay.
I don't care for Coldplay.
There it is. See?
I mean, and maybe I have a built-in bias because I was and am an Oasis fan.
Oh.
And they've spent many of years.
That's interesting.
But I think Noel and Chris Martin get along now.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there was a Coldplay Oasis thing. I know, like, we were talking about this actually before the show. Like, so many people have referred to Coldplay, like, music snobs. and I am a music snob. I'll be the first person to say it, but I'm not. So many people have called. Wow, that was really illegal. Sorry. We just watched someone do a really ill-advised U-turn right on Division Street right in front of us. Have called Coldplay watered-down Radiohead, which is completely unfair. And also, by the way, I'm the one guy in the world that doesn't like Radiohead. So, but whatever.
What a creep.
Actually, those first two albums I really like. Nobody likes those first two albums. Everyone likes everything. And that's the stuff after that I don't like.
So this might just be time and misremembering, but I think as an Oasis fan, a diehard fan, I just assume they hate everybody else.
Right.
Particularly if they're a British band.
Right.
But I feel like somewhere in my
mind. I just thought that was Blur.
Well, for sure Blur, and with good reason. Right. When their only popular song is a song that sounds like nothing like their actual music.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them. Yeah. But I know they went on, the main guy went on to do some good, Gorillaz, right?
Yeah. Is that Damien? That's Damien Albarn.
Yeah. He was Gorillaz guy.
Gorillaz is great.
Yeah, so it worked out for him. He did all right. But, though, you know, they were never quiet about their opinions. But I feel like, and maybe I just didn't care. I mean, your watered down Radiohead comment, I think, to me, Coldplay just felt watered down. They're bland.
Yeah.
In fairness to them, I've not spent a lot of time listening to them other than their popular songs, which for the most part I have found really annoying.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
But this song I came across, and I did bring this to the table.
Yeah, you did.
I think the older I get, similar to you too, whether it's just that I'm wiser, which I'm sure you would say, or maybe more experienced, or maybe becoming weak, who knows. But
wearing you down.
I'm open to listening to more Coldplay after this song.
Yeah, okay.
I enjoyed it.
All right, it's a good song.
Yeah,
it's good.
And the video is a little trippy, which I appreciate.
I have not seen the video.
You should check out the video.
Yeah, this what one of the things I like about this song is it's another, it's sort of in that Amanda Shires vein. It's about Christmas is real, you know, and there's not Christmas isn't always great. Anyway,
well, we forgot the haiku, by the way.
Oh,
and how could I ever let you step that way?
Hang on, are we even recording? Hang on a second. I don't think we're recording right now. I apologize. We are. Okay. We are. That's weird. Okay.
Trim that one out.
Everything's fine. Yes, sir.
Time for my haiku.
Here we go.
You said,
time now for the Corey Butler Christmas haiku.
All right. Well, I just thought you'd need a clean break from the stuff you just edited out that I'm now calling attention to.
We're fine. I might not even edit that out.
I think you had the S word in there. You might need to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You might need to edit that out. Now you need to leave this part in, though, because this is more fun.
Exactly. Right. I'll just bleep out the S word.
There you go. Right. Haiku corner. What's figgy pudding? Honey, fruits, and nuts. Oh, my. I'll take the Yule log.
Well, all right.
Bûche de Noël. Are you familiar?
Mm.
The Christmas Yule log?
I know what the Christmas... there's a dessert.
It's called a Yule log. It's originally called Bûche de Noël.
I'm not familiar.
It didn't fit my syllables. Okay. So I went with the traditional Yule log.
Okay.
Well, you know it's called a Yule log, right?
Well,
know Bûche de Noël.
I think Yule log, and I think like the fire.
The YouTube
videos.
But you've never seen like the dessert that looks like a log? That's traditionally called a Bûche de Noël.
Honest to gosh, I do not.
Look it up.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you probably buy a store-bought one. I mean, it's a cake with, like,
Anyone who wants to deliver me a Bûche de Noël, you can find me here at the radio station offices, KYMN.
But you'll take either variation of a Yule log, too, probably.
Yeah, well, you ever watch any of those Yule log videos?
I ever
put them on? Yeah. My favorite one is the one with, who's the guy who played Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec?
Oh, yeah. Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman has one. Two hours long. Him sitting in, I mean, it's classic, like big fire, roaring fire, and the leather chair. And Nick Offerman sitting there with a bottle of scotch and a glass. And he sits down, pours himself a scotch next to the fire and stares at you for 2 hours.
That's great.
Halfway through, I mean, he drinks the scotch. It takes him an hour to drink the first one. Halfway through, he pours another. Drinks that 2 hours and then it's over.
That's great.
It's so funny.
I used to love the one on Channel 45 when you'd see the hand put more wood in.
That's great.
That was always like, it was like seeing Santa. There's the hand.
It's magic.
They put the wood on.
It's magic. Anyway, this is Coldplay with Christmas Lights on 95.1 KYMN.
Thank you. Christmas night, another fight. Tears we cried, a flood. Got all kinds of poison in, of poison in my blood. I took my feet to Oxford Street, trying to right a wrong. Just walk away, those windows say, but I can't believe she's gone. When you're still waiting for the snow to fall, doesn't really feel like Christmas at all.
Christmas.
That's a band called the Lumineers doing a song called Blue Christmas. That's an Elvis song, as far as I'm concerned. But that was a really good version of that song.
I think that's probably the right way to approach it. That is an Elvis song, and I would agree. That's a pretty good version of it.
I really liked it.
The Lumineers are more my speed than, say, I don't know, Coldplay.
Okay, yeah, all right, that's fine. I actually prefer Coldplay to the Lumineers, but I don't mind the Lumineers.
And that's what's nice about music and life.
And America.
Well, they have opinions elsewhere, most places. But that version was released in 2016. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the band overall. Wesley Schultz, who's the lead vocalist and kind of the main guy.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, I can't remember the other guy's last name, but they were kind of the two people. And a lot of the other players kind of come and go.
Sure.
The band's changed over the years. Real quick, you talked with Amanda about missing two of her shows because of COVID-related items. I know I've shared this with you. My wife and I were scheduled to see the Lumineers on March 13th, 2020.
Oh.
Does that date ring a bell?
Yeah,
to
it does.
Minnesotan?
It does. I know exactly where I was that day.
Yep, everything shut down that day.
That day.
So, didn't get to see the Lumineers. It was actually something we're really looking forward to. I had given the tickets to my wife while we're on our 10th anniversary road trip out west from California to Portland. Handed to him in front of John Steinbeck's home that he grew up in.
Wow.
And then we held on to him for 5 months until we found out we couldn't go see him. So
what a drag.
Yeah.
Did they reschedule that show? Or have they rescheduled that? Like, because I thought I saw the Lumineers coming in 2022. I don't know.
No, trust me. I keep looking.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
They had the old Ticketmaster thing. We'll just hold on. And
Yeah.
Fall, so I'm not holding
anymore
because I can read and I know what's happening.
Exactly.
This isn't going to be happening anytime soon. So give me my money back, Ticketmaster.
And right.
Eventually, did get my money back.
That's good. Yeah, it takes a while because we did the same thing with that show in Wrigley Field. And eventually, you get your money back, but it takes a little while.
Right. Anything else about Blue Christmas?
It's a good song. It's not a great song, but the Lumineers did a really good job with that song.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
As I told you, because I'm looking at the time, we'll keep this close to 2 hours.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Silent Night is another song they cover.
Yeah.
But after hearing about the chat you have with Amanda and just knowing how you feel about that song in general over the years of doing the show, which is kind of weird to say now, the years we've been doing the show.
We're 3 years into this now.
I was going to challenge you with their version, which I think is a good version, but I tend to agree with you that that's just a very challenging song to cover.
It is.
If you want to go seek out additional music, they've got that song. We mentioned Pretty Paper earlier in the show. So they've got a couple good covers, I think.
Cool.
So, all right, final haiku of the day.
Yeah, go for it.
And since we're pushing the evening, late evening here, this one
here
gets a little more. What was the term you were using the other day for Bette Midler on the radio?
Body.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
She's a blue, body dame.
Santa's hefty sack. Full for his annual trip. Too blue for this show.
There it is.
And I'll tell you the joke after we go off the air.
All right. We ended the show last week with Nat King Cole, and we're going to end the show this week with Nat King Cole, because why not, right?
Did you know you can't spell Cole without Oli?
I do now. I never thought about it, but sure. All right. You know what? I got nothing.
Those are my contributions.
What is one to say about this song except that it was written by Mel Torme? And no one knows that because Nat King Cole, actually, this is the third recording fourth recording of this song. This is the one where he nailed it. This is the one that everyone remembers, and no one else can touch this.
I'm in agreement.
All right, here it is. Christmas song from Nat King Cole's Christmas album. Again, one of the top five Christmas albums of all time. And thanks for listening, you guys. This is we'll be back one more week with Christmas on the Canon next Wednesday at 7 p.m. And thanks for listening. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.